guys, for such a wonderful job today. I appreciate you guys very much. I'm so glad that you guys are with us here today in our time of worship. And so, welcome. I'm Pastor Andy here at New Hope, and glad you're able to be with us. And thanks, guys, for helping me get set up for today. Today, we're going to carry on with our series. And we've been talking about emotionally healthy spirituality. And I've got an opening illustration that we're going to use to kind of get us jumped into what we're working on here today. Can you grab me the clicker right there on that little stool? Thanks. Thank you. Excellent, excellent. So, you know, let me do this illustration that I look at and go, I think it's a lot like life, right? So, I've got two pitchers, and they both have water, and then I've got a bowl right here. And so let's just say that, let's pretend, right? So this bowl is life, and this pitcher right here is us. Let's go with this one. And so, you know, every day when we go about our day, we get up, we start going, and we're just doing life. And so, in essence, to go about the day, we're just pouring out and pouring out and pouring out and pouring out, and we just keep pouring out, don't we, right? I mean, you know, just think about all the stuff you're doing at work and home, just life in general, all sorts of, you know, parenting perhaps, relationships, all sorts of responsibilities that maybe you've got, and all the emotional responses that can tend to go with that. And, you know, some days, depending on how the day goes, it can really feel like a roller coaster. But when you're going through your day, you're just constantly, it seems like, maybe some days more than others, but just pouring out like I was doing. And, you know, that's not a bad thing. It's a very natural thing, in fact, because, you know, God created us to pour our lives into creating and cultivating what is good for His glory and to be a blessing to other people and to ourselves. So, you know, that very act of pouring ourselves into life is very natural, and we want to do it the best that we can. What I find, though, and here's kind of the catch, is that it can be tempting to just keep pouring and pouring and pouring, and then if we just keep pouring and pouring, at some point, we sort of end up just kind of running out, you know? You ever have those days, weeks, or months, or a season of life where it just feels like, man, you just give, and you just feel like you're just wiped out, draining, just emotionally drained, and spiritually just drained. And God intended that there be a balance. And it may sound like I'm giving all away in the beginning, but just walk with me. So God intended there be a balance. So I encourage you to pour out, but I also want to pour into you. So as you pour out, I want to pour into you. So I'm going to pour, and then you're going to pour out some more. And that whole rhythm, that whole balance of receiving and giving is really God's design for how we are really supposed to not just live and survive, but actually to thrive. And that's what I want to talk about today, is what are a couple balanced rhythms for being poured into and pouring out that we can have in our lives that can help us to thrive emotionally and spiritually, because both are important. And so here's the first idea I want to share with us today. And you know, this is one that has been a part of God's people for over 2,000 millennia, and it simply is having a daily rhythm with God. What I mean by that is, it's saying, okay, I'm going to have a structured and intentional way of resting in God each day, where I believe that by His grace, He's going to pour into me so that I can pour out into my life in a way that will bring God glory and be a blessing to others and even to myself. And I think that in the scriptures, there's so many places we can look at for this, but maybe one of the really good places we can look is to just look at simply at Jesus. You know, in the Gospels, in one place is in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. And if you look at Matthew and Luke, you'll see other stories where Jesus often, he would go up to the mountaintop to pray. He would take time to commune with the Father. He would get away from the distractions, often before they even started, and then even afterwards, or right in the midst of them, so that he could spend time being poured into by his Father, which he knew was coming through the Holy Spirit in him and upon him. And in that rhythm that he had, one of the things that I think is important to just actually point out is the fact that I think the rhythm that Jesus practiced is not one that's meant to prescribe for us exactly how we have to have our daily rhythm with God. Now, to some, you may go, what in the world is that preacher talking about? Well, bear with me. Think about this for a second. So, Jesus is Jewish man, right? He's in a Jewish culture. And so, as part of the Jewish faith that he practiced devoutly, he had a rhythm of prayer, of at least prayer three times a day. And he also knew that he had a preaching regimen in his life, that he was going to the temple preaching, he would be out teaching and preaching, when he's out traveling around, and the fact that he's out traveling around and he's healing people and he's just pouring his life into those other disciples, you know, and the other people that are around him that are listening. He was taking time to pour himself into the life that he had come to earth to live. And if he was going to be poured out, then he knew he needed to spend time with the Father to receive from him. And so what you find is that if you look at the stories, oftentimes Jesus is sort of bookending his ministry life with spending time with the Father ahead of time, spending time with the Father on the other side of it. And like I said, you know, sometimes in the midst of it, just kind of getting away. And sometimes in the church, you know, we like to say, hey, you know, Jesus needed to do that, then how much more do we need to do that? And I think that's a fair statement. And so let me just kind of play with that and say, well, if we need God to help us on a daily basis so that we can be poured into and that we can also be pouring out, what's our SOS, right? What is our SOS? And so I think it's this. And this is real simple, and I'm not going to tell you a specific way or say this is how it ought to happen, specifically your day, because it's up to each of us to find that rhythm that we connect with. But I think the essence of it is this, to have a rhythm. I think this has to be part of how we understand it. Stop working. You know, what? Yeah. We all know what it's like. I'm pretty sure to jump into our day or to just keep plowing through our day and working, you know, 90 miles an hour through our day. And I want to challenge us to say a daily rhythm with God means we've got to take time to just stop. Just stop working. And determine, well, say, and, you know, stop working. Just determine where you can stop and be still. Where can you do that in your day? You need to honor your responsibilities that you have, absolutely. But where can you stop and just be still? Where can you push pause, say 2 to 3 times a day or whatever, you know, and just stop? And then have an open posture to God. That's the O in the SOS. To have an open posture to God. Say, this moment is not about what I can do. It's about me just being present, stopping. And here's what I find. When I tend to do that, I'll have these thoughts that stuff for my day that just wants to start working in my head. You know, it's like, oh, I got to be doing this. Like, oh, if I don't get this done, oh, I got to forget. I have to do that. And one of the challenges of having that rhythm with God is to recognize those things, to be aware of them, and hold them captive, right? There's plenty of time to get those things done. Hold those thoughts captive so that your thoughts can be focused less about what you have to do and more about who you get to be with in that moment and who is with you. Have an open posture. And so here's the third S, and it is, I think, spend dedicated time. You know, you and I, we probably have busy days, no doubt. And we have to set aside time, have it in the rhythm of our day to say, this is dedicated time. This is my schedule. I'm going to take control of my schedule and I'm going to manage it for my own well-being, because I want to spend time where I believe by God's grace, He's going to pour into me so that I can better pour out into all the responsibilities that I have in life. And I want that time to be grounded in His Word. I'm going to spend that time, this time. Can I share with you something that I've learned this is something that's worked for me. Maybe it would work for you, but it's just something that's helped me. So the way my crazy mind works is that there are days when I get out of bed and I know that I've got several things on my schedule that I need to do. I know that I haven't finished something, or I've got anxiety already as my mind starts to race. You know, you wake up, you sit up, and it's like, oh, yeah, I got to do this thing, I got to do that thing, da da da. And you just start to like go with it. And I found that is usually not a very helpful way to start my day, so that I start my day in a place of peace. And so what I began to try, and I found that it worked, was to say, okay, pause, stop. I'm getting up and I'm waking up, but I'm gonna stop. And I'm gonna just open the posture of my heart and my head to God as I start this new day. And this moment, I'm not gonna chase my day. It'll be there. I'm just not gonna chase it. I'm just gonna sit still for a moment. Or as I'm getting up, you know, to go brush my teeth and start to get ready for the day, it's like I try to hold those thoughts captive and just try to think on what are the promises of Christ, the presence of Christ. Maybe having a psalm or two that a little chunk of that encourages me, that focuses me on the goodness of God, to maybe quote that, or if I can remember to do that, or think about the peace and the rest in Christ that, you know, that comes to us through our salvation. And the idea is simply that, you know, I found that if I can start by just focusing on the goodness of God and the peace of God that comes through Christ in me and the promises of God, that is such a very helpful way to let the peace of God bring me into the new day versus the schedule of my day bring me into the new day. Now, it doesn't change what I have to do. I still have to do the things that are laid out in front of me. But boy, it seems to me to make a difference in how I start, what the rhythm is when I start. And that's part of the power of having a daily rhythm. And then if you can, maybe later, you know, in the day, taking time to, again, SOS, stop, open posture, and just spend that dedicated time to, maybe it's take a walk, maybe it's to offer prayer to God, maybe it's reading of the Psalms or somewhere in Scripture, you know, maybe it's singing a verse out of one of your favorite, maybe hymns or Christian songs, you know, that really encourage you and kind of like, yes, and you know, whatever it is, you kind of work and try to figure that out. But at the same time, you go, this is my time to be poured into. And there'll be plenty of time for me to pour out, but I need to be replenished in this moment so that I can better pour into what I'm responsible for and the people that I'm responsible for. You know, our families oftentimes get our leftovers. You ever notice that? Our families oftentimes, I think, get our leftovers because we know we have so many responsibilities, and so we want to pour into all of those things, which is not bad. Remember, that's half of it. But part of pouring into is also pouring into that family that God has given to you, that you would edify them and build them up and lead them forward with grace. And you would teach by example what it looks like and how to pursue having an emotionally healthy spirituality at home. I believe it has to start with us who are leaders in our homes, because we have to learn how to do this. God's grace will help us, but we do have to learn. To learn what it looks like to stop, open up, and spend dedicated time to be replenished as we go through our days. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, those of you who like to work a lot, borderline maybe workaholics, and maybe those who are like, you know what, I just try to do as little as possible, to be frank. You know, You may not like the second one, and sometimes, I'll be honest, I probably tend to fall more on that end of being, well, it works too much and needs to have, you know, this, that better balance rhythm. And so I confess that, and that, you know, I'm preaching to the choir here this morning on this. I believe that second rhythm is having a Sabbath, which is a rest. You know that word Sabbath, we find that in the Ten Commandments and in other places in Scripture. But having a Sabbath, I mean, that time to rest, different, and you've probably heard different, you know, denominational backgrounds will sort of define what that looks like, and that's totally fine. But the heart of it is what matters the most. And I believe the heart of the idea of a Sabbath is a day of restful pursuits that give us joy and bring joy to others that are around us. It's a day of being replenished, giving time to rest and being poured into. You say, well, that's what I do. Aren't you talking? That's what I do every day. Yeah, I am. But God has also said, I want my people to have a day where they rest. And the heart of that really, you know, like I said, it goes back to the Ten Commandments. And so I actually want to read to us today Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Here's what God gave to Moses to give to tell the Israelites, right? The Ten Commandments. And here's what it says. It says in verse 12, it says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day, for the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. That's the longest commandment in the Ten Commandments. You see, God gives more space to that one than he does the others. That's a pretty significant commandment because, you know, if you think back to the time and place, God giving the Ten Commandments to them, you know, they didn't have a pattern of that worship practice quite yet, but they had a history of being in bondage and working incessantly for the Pharaoh in Egypt to feed his pride and his greed and selfishness. And they were broken and they were exhausted and they were crying out to God for deliverance, for help. And God, Scripture says that God heard them. And right, so if you know the story of the Exodus, then they raise up Moses and calls him and delivers from Egypt. And it's a wonderful, amazing story of deliverance. God delivers them from a broken and exhausting lifestyle. And he gives them the Ten Commandments to live by, which included that they ought to rest on the seventh day. And so it's beautifully pointing back to the story of creation, which is the intent. That is, you know, God rested on the seventh day of creation. He says, as my people, you will do as I have done. And it'll be for your good. You will be blessed in your rest. I like that. I like the way that sounds. You will be blessed in your rest. So 6 days a week, get your stuff done. Kind of thing, right? It's just the attitude of saying, okay, 6 days a week, man, go at it, you know, work, manage the affairs of our home, our families, you know, if you're doing repairs, you know, doing projects, those types of things, handle issues that need to be handled, run errands, do all, you know, do the stuff you got to do that, you know, yeah, it's draining, but that's just part of doing life. So do those things, but take the seventh day. And let it be a day of pursuing what you might sort of call more life-giving things that really just fuel you up. that really kind of encourage you, that build you up, that just give you a chance to go, oh, for that day. With people that build you up, people that bring you joy. Taking that time to set it aside is a time to say, God, I trust you that though I know I need to be working to get things done, you're more than able to handle what concerns me. And you said that you would provide for me, that you would take care of me. And so this day of rest is a day of worship because I choose to, by this day, express my trust in you as the Lord over every facet of my life. That feels good just talking about it, you know? And I think part of the self-aware part, that's something we've been talking about as we've gone through these weeks, that part of being self-aware is to know, okay, for you, for me, hey, what is that something, some things that are restful for you and for others in your home, if there's more than one person in your home? And make room in your schedule then for those things. Make room for the people who recharge you. We all have 24 hours in a day. It's up to us to how we spend those hours. So how are you going to spend those hours? Well, worshiping on your Sabbath day is actually a great and a wonderful spiritual part of that rhythm. Because, yeah, that day's about God, but it's a day that through corporately gathering and worshiping together, God does pour into us spiritually, emotionally, relationally. You know, we come to bless God, don't we? Absolutely. And we actually leave being blessed by God. I think corporate worship is a means of grace. It's a means through which God blesses us and grows us up in Christ, and we become healthier by his work in us. We need that weekly gathering with the body of Christ, which I know is so challenging because we just right now we aren't able to get together physically, but it doesn't change God's design. We just have to be creative in how we go about fulfilling that. That's all. But we still need him. We need that weekly day of rest, but we also need that daily rhythm, right, to help us as well. So here's my question. What's your rhythm look like? What's that daily, that weekly rhythm look like for you? Do you feel like it's replenishing you? Is it replenishing what's being poured out? Is there a balance in there? Right? Doesn't mean it's always a 50-50 type deal. You know, it's like, well, I'm going to work half my day, and the second half of my day is going to be, you know, this rhythm of just spending time, just resting and prayer. I mean, you may not be able to do that. I find that I'm not quite able to do that with my schedule. You may not be able to either, but here's what I believe, and I know to be true, is that, you know, God is not bound by time, nor space, nor things. And God, by his grace and his spirit, can do in us, in a moment, that which is greater than what we could ever ask, hope, or imagine. He's an amazing God. And he's really worth spending that time with him. So therefore, I know I can't spend all day, can't even spend half my day, though I may try to spend the rest of my day sort of practicing this presence that, yes, God is with me as I go through my day, but the time where I can just stop and just pause and have an open posture and spend that dedicated time where I'm not working and I'm not stressing, I'm just trying to sit there and hold my thoughts captive so I can just focus on God and maybe hear from him. Be replenished in that moment. That's the time that is well worth building into the rhythm of our lives. I believe that with all my heart. It's impacted my life in more ways than I can share today. And so I want to encourage us that is truly a way that we can grow an emotionally healthy spirituality. So here's the thing, you know, that may require that you and I have got to make some changes if we feel like, you know, I just feel like my rhythm is just really draining more than it's building me up. And we go, hey, well then what needs to change in the rhythm of my day or my week so that I can have a better balance of being poured into so that I can keep pouring out and not be drained. That may take some time with a mentor. That may take some time with a small group exploring that. It may take some time reaching out here at the church. And if you want to do that and explore how to grow in that rhythm and have a healthy balance, hey, just go to our website. It's a great way. And you can go to the Connect tab on our homepage. It's up on the far right. And just click that and let us know that you'd like to learn more about that. And we'll reach out to you and come alongside you. That's part of discipleship, right? Because we don't just come into the Christian faith knowing that these things are important. We have to learn. And so we need to be about the business of making disciples who love, who grow, right? Growing up healthier in our faith and also serving others. We believe here at New Hope, that's one of the reasons that we're here. And so, hey, we want to be a part of coming alongside you. And please come alongside us too. And hey, let's just grow together, okay? And I know we will. Hey, can I pray for us at home and here this morning? Because I know that taking all this in, you go, wow, that's a really big idea. But man, how do I do that? And what's good? What needs to be adjusted? All that kind of stuff, right? It can be feel like you got this big topic. And so I want to pray the Holy Spirit will just help us give step-by-step wisdom and connect us with the right people and help us to listen to what He wants us to hear from Him. God, I'm so grateful. Man, I'm so grateful that you're never done with us. You just keep pouring into us as we spend that time with you and have a heart, a posture open to you. You're so good to us by your grace. Thank you for that. Today I ask that your Holy Spirit would give us the wisdom, a discerning spirit to hear what you're saying to us, what you desire for us, what rhythm can help us to keep growing in emotionally healthy spirituality, that we can give our best to you and to others for your glory as we carry out this mission of making disciples. Help us lead by example in our homes and in the church and in our communities, wherever we are, and may your Spirit guide us for your glory and honor. Thank you so much that you love us and pour into us so that we can pour out and continue to build and create what is good for your glory. Amen.